Today we are going to look at a continuation of last week's message from 1 Peter 5. Last week we looked through the first five verses of 1 Peter 5, and then in verse 5, Peter quotes Proverbs 3:34. In verse 6, we see the word therefore. And so it is tying verse 6 and 7 with the quotation from Proverbs, from Proverbs in verse 5. So let's go back to verse 5 and read that quotation along with verses 6 and 7 as we look in 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll primarily emphasize verses 6 and 7. But since verse 5 is preceding the word therefore, we will read them together. So verse 5 of 1 Peter 5 says, God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him because he cares about you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you do indeed care for us. And so I ask you, Lord, to help us to humble ourselves before you and humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God and trust you to exalt us at the proper time. Help us to humble ourselves and to live our lives in accordance with your will and your way. Help us to be like Jesus so that he could be glorified in and through us. Thank you again, Lord, that you do indeed care for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So verse 6 begins with a command in relation to Peter's quotation from Proverbs. A command is not a suggestion. It is not a request. It's not optional. It is an order. It is expected to be done. The command before us today is to humble yourselves. So we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, because God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We touched on that fact that God resists the proud last week. The proper response to knowing that God resists the proud is to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Now, again, as I've said before, and I will continue to say when we talk about humility, it is not to debase ourselves or even depreciate ourselves. We are the handiwork of God. He created each one of us, and he gifted us in different ways. He uses us in different ways and is glorified by us in different ways. We do not need to get into a situation where we feel like because somebody may be doing something that we feel is greater for the Lord, that we're nobody or we're nothing. We don't need to degrade ourselves over that. You know, one of the most influential people in all of modern Christianity was a shoe salesman. And I forget the story, but it was like that the shoe salesman, it was a Sunday school teacher that won the shoe salesman that was Dwight Moody. And Moody won someone else to the Lord who won another person to the Lord, but ended up that person won Billy Graham to the Lord. So I'm probably getting the story all mixed up and messed up, but it is interesting if you wanted to Google that and look and see that story that I'm referring to of how Billy Graham got saved in the generations of people that in the faith before him, just a humble Sunday school teacher leading a shoe salesman who became a great preacher and evangelist, leading someone else and so on and so forth. And then we get to Billy Graham. And it's not about how much we are on a platform or if we are out in front of everybody. What matters is that we are faithful and that we understand that we are the handiwork of God. And because we are the handiwork of God, if we degrade or depreciate ourselves before God, it is to call his handiwork inadequate, and his handiwork is in no way inadequate. So to humble ourselves is to make ourselves low before God, and the best way to do that, from what I have found in my experience, is to lift him up in praise. Yes, I need to call attention to my own sinfulness. I need to acknowledge my sinfulness, but I don't need to degrade myself or belittle myself. And yes, I do need to admit before the Lord that I do have a healthy sin nature. But, you know, we need to understand that we need to acknowledge our sin, but we don't need to degrade ourselves, but we lift Him up. We have to get to the point where we feel free to praise Him in our prayer closets, in our homes, in our cars, at church, at work, at the store, or wherever we are. We need to be able to freely praise the Lord, because the best way to humble ourselves is to lift Him up. Now, praising Him can be with a loud voice, or it can even be a quiet testimony of His goodness. It could simply be still and quiet in your prayer closet before Him. And it simply is giving Him praise for who He is. So here are some practical ways that we can lift Him up, that we can praise the Lord. First of all is to realize and admit that all your gifts and abilities are from Him. There's nothing that we can do that has not been given to us by the Lord, those abilities. You know, our health has been given to us and preserved by the Lord. If we're able to do work and do things, we ought to recognize that the Lord has given us that ability. We need to recognize that we are truly completely dependent upon Him. It is the Lord that sustains the beating of our heart. It is the Lord that gives us the oxygen that we need to breathe, and is the one that sustains the breath in our lungs. We need to recognize that we are completely dependent upon Him. We need to respect and obey the Word of God. We need to revere Him, that is to have reverence for Him, because He is the Almighty. He is the most holy. He is the Creator. He is the Lord. He is the all-powerful God, the all-knowing God, and the all-present God. He is the only God. If we ever truly understood Him, we cannot help but to humble ourselves before Him. And so I want to encourage all of us to follow this command here and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we do this because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Now, I find it interesting that Peter referenced the mighty hand of God here. So I want to take a moment to speak to that. The command to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, I do not believe, is intended to invoke fear. Rather, it is to remind us of who God is. One of the descriptors I just read for the Lord is the Almighty. Our God is the living God, and He is the Almighty God. When I was a children's minister in my college days, I actually sang a song with the kids. Now, I'm not a good singer by the least bit, but it goes something like this. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do. Now, these are simple words, but truly profound words. There is nothing our God cannot do. There is no disease that He cannot cure. There is no person that He cannot save. There is no situation that He cannot handle. There is nothing that He cannot do. His mighty hand is capable, and you can trust Him to do what is best for those that love Him. Romans 8:28, an often quoted scripture, says, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. And so we know that the Lord is working, and His mighty hand is able to take care of us. But not only are we to humble ourselves underneath the mighty hand of God, we can also recognize that God exalts the humble. Look at verse 6 again. If we take out that clause in between the two commas there, the sentence could read, humble yourselves so that He may exalt you at the proper time. If you will depend on Him and lift him up in praise, he will exalt you. Notice a couple of things here regarding God exalting the humble. First of all, there's a proper time. Now, we may think that we know when a good time is to be exalted. There's a lot of people I'd like to be present when God exalts me. And I know that when we think that there is a good time to be exalted, and that good time is, well, maybe when our enemies are around to see it. But basically, even then, we all want to be exalted now. We don't want to wait. We don't want to be patient. And oftentimes we think that now is the time to be recognized, or we think now is the time to be blessed. However, there is a proper time for those that humble themselves to be exalted. But not only is there a proper time, but there is a proper exalter. So there is a proper one to do the exalting. Now, it's human nature to exalt ourselves. And we all know people that like to exalt themselves, talk about themselves, that are full of themselves. And it is human nature to exalt ourselves, but it is impossible to humble oneself while trying to exalt oneself. You can't do both at the same time. So when others are complimenting you, it may be hard to stay humble, but it's not impossible. So we need to be careful that we allow the proper exalter to exalt us, and we don't get so big-headed when others are complimenting us. The key is to remember that there is an exalter that is greater than any other human, and it is his exaltation that counts. So we need to humble ourselves so that he, that is the proper exalter, may exalt us at the proper time. So understand this, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he, who is the proper exalter, will exalt you at the proper time. And so the Lord is going to exalt those that humble themselves underneath the mighty hand of God. So we need to just wait for that proper time. We need to be patient as we wait, not only for the proper time, but for the proper one to exalt us. And of course, when God exalts us, we will in turn exalt him. And so, and that is the proper response, is to always continually exalt the Lord. Now, there's another thing for us to do while we are humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And so he tells us, of course, in verse 6, to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. But in verse 7, he tells us to cast our cares. Look at verse 7 with me. It says, casting all your cares on him because he cares about you. The idea here is not laying your cares on him. This verse does not convey the idea of laying your cares down at Jesus' feet. The idea is to throw upon or even hurl upon the cares. So we are to throw upon the Lord our cares, to hurl upon the Lord our cares. It has the idea of a emphatic and strong casting of those cares upon him. It also has the idea of giving up to or surrendering to. The word for cares has the idea here of worry or anxiety. So as we humble ourselves before the Lord, we cast all our cares, all our worries, all of our anxieties upon him. Remember that humbling ourselves means that we recognize our complete dependence upon him and that he is more than able. And when we do that, we can very effectively cast all of our cares upon him. You know, I know that I may be oversimplifying it, and I know that there are experts that may tell me that I'm oversimplifying it, but worry, anxiety, and having these cares that are like worry and anxiety, sometimes, if not most of the time, quite possibly all of the time, is due to a lack of faith in keeping our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith, Jesus Christ. because the mighty hand of God is stronger than any other hand. There is no one and nothing as strong as the Lord. There is no situation that he cannot handle. There is no problem that is too big for him. There is nothing, there is absolutely nothing that the Lord cannot handle. And we are told to humble ourselves before the Lord. And so the best way to humble ourselves is to exalt him, to praise him, to recognize that he is able, and to cast our cares upon him. That means that we throw them away from us. We don't pick them up. We don't lay them down where they're easily to pick back up, but we cast them upon him. So when we do that, we can very effectively cast all our cares upon him when we recognize our complete dependence on him and the fact that he is more than able. Excuse me. So notice why we cast all our cares on him. Last part of verse 7. Because he cares. Because he cares. But notice what he cares about. Let me read verse 7 again. Casting all your cares on him because he cares about you. He cares about you. He cares for you. The Almighty God of this universe cares for you. I'm not saying this in you plural, although it applies in you plural, but you singular. God cares for you. I don't know who's listening to this. I don't know if anyone listens to these recordings on Wednesday. But if you're listening to this, wherever you are, whether you're in the car, whether you're at home or at work, wherever you are, no matter what time it is or what year it is, I want you to understand something. The Almighty God cares for you. If you just heard me, if you're listening to me, God cares for you. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're dealing with, God cares for you. He is able to take care of that situation, but you need to trust him. You need to cast that care upon him, and you need to give it to him because he cares for you. And so this fact that God cares for us, the Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, he cares for us. This separates our belief from every other belief, from every other false god, from every other religion, because the false gods do not care. The true God cares. He cares for us. Our faith is the only faith where God came to us so that he may make a way for us and he to commune together, have a relationship with one another. But all the other religions are trying to tell you how to get to that false God. But the true God came to us. Why? Because he cares for you. And it's not a care as in an affinity for you or that he likes you, although he does like you. In fact, he loves you. It's more than a like. It's more than an affinity toward or just a warm feeling toward. He loves you. And what is meant here by he cares for you is that he takes care of you, and better yet, he provides for you what you need. Now, let me say it again, and I've said it several times, but it bears repeating. God cares for you. He provides for your needs. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 6. If you'll turn to Matthew 6, wherever you are, if you're driving, just listen. And don't try to find it in your phone or something. But Matthew 6, 25 through verse 34. Jesus is saying this here. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body. What you will wear, isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown into the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. These were the words of Jesus there on the Sermon on the Mount. You can find the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But suffice it to say that what we're seeing here in this passage, as well as in 1 Peter, the message that God wants you and I to hear today is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That is, we need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Why? Because all these things will be provided for you. And why will all these things be provided for you? Because he cares about you. Father, we thank you for how you care for us. Not just us as a group of people, your creation, but each and every one of us. That the scripture tells us that we were knit together in our mother's wombs, that you know the number of hairs on our heads, that you care for us. Thank you, Lord, for your care for us, not just for our physical needs, but that you provided for our greatest need. And you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord, for this love that you have given to us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.